Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Welcome to Youth Sunday at the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Haven't the youth done a wonderful job on today? Come on, give them a hand clap of praise. They did a wonderful job. You just don't know how hard it is to be up here and sing or do anything looking at y'all. It gets a little difficult, amen? Some of y'all don't always smile, amen? Amen. But so glad to be here on today, giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life, to Dr. Ricky Harvey, who is out of town this morning. He sends his love. He's back in Tucson, Arizona, installing one of his sons in the ministry to a church. And we want to continue to pray for him. Amen. Amen. Well, wonderful thing about the God we serve is that we have a God that can be in Tucson, he can be in California, he can be in Japan, and he can be right here in Rochester, New York at the same time. Amen. Amen. I just thank God for the deacons of this church, to the deaconess, to the trustees, to these fellow ministers who have approached this altar and who sit with me, and I know they're praying with me. Amen. To everyone in their respective places, I'm just so glad to be here. To my home pastor, Dr. Douglas Smith Sr., to the Mission Society of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, who decided it not robbery to come and visit and hear me talk for a few minutes. Amen? Amen. We also got a young man over there who I told him to come sit in the pulpit, but he wouldn't. Papa John, who's surviving. He's surviving. He's been diagnosed with cancer, but he got good news this week, so that lets us know that God is still in the healing business. Amen? Amen. I'm so glad to have my family with me this morning. I've been here a month and 9 days, and this is the first time this time that my whole family is here with me. I know some of you have been wondering, when will I bring my wife? I know some of you were wondering, do he have a wife? Wondering if he's undercover? No. My wife is here this morning, Miss Tasha Crumity. She's sitting in the back with my family, my son, Patrick, my daughter, Savannah, and my other daughter, Lyric. Amen. 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 I just thank you all for allowing me to serve as your youth pastor. Amen. Amen. I won't be before you long. Just give me 2 hours and I will be out of your hair. I'm just playing. Yeah, like 2 hours. I'm going to leave now, right? Amen. If you don't mind, let's go to our scripture for today. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. If you don't mind standing to your feet, we're only going to read one verse. The 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 13th verse. Paul is the writer of this verse. This morning, we're going to talk about temptation. Talk about something that we all deal with, amen? Whether you're one, whether you're 5 years old, or whether you're not 5 years old, you're going to deal with this. And the scripture says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. Lou, if you don't mind, do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and look him dead in the face and say, neighbor, I'm not in this by myself. Come on, look at him one more time and say, neighbor, I am not in this by myself. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We praise you for the word. God, we thank you for your servant, Father X. God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. God, have your way in this place on this morning. God, send the anointing that makes preaching easy. Allow me to slow down and preach with simplicity and power and anointing. It's in your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm not in this by myself. That right there should shout to you already. To know that you are not in this. Whatever you're dealing with in life, you're not there by yourself. And I'm not talking about the scripture. Isn't talking about having a friend or a family. And it's good to have a good friend. It's good to have family, but you know, there's sometimes you can be in a room full of people and still be lonely. There's times you can be at work and have everybody around you and people smiling at you and you still feel lonely. But Paul tells us here that I'm not in this by myself. The first few verses of this chapter that's written by Paul, he's talking to the church of Corinth, and reminding them and telling them that it wasn't them that got them to where they were at. Many times in life, we get to certain positions and we feel like we've done it all by ourselves. Feel like we've achieved this, we've achieved that, and it was nobody but me. But Paul had to remind them, just like God had fed the children of Israel and led them out of captivity and fed them with manna every day, he wanted to remind them that it was God who is the source of your strength. Can anybody say that God is the source of your strength this morning? Amen. Here we go. Now in the 13th verse, he's talking to them about temptation. He said, there is therefore no temptation. Some translations say no trial, no issue that is common to man that has taken you. That means that nothing that you face in life can take hold of you and keep you captive. That means that no matter what you deal with, the scripture says that there is a way of escape. First thing we must understand that no matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your background is, no matter where you went to school or where you was raised, you will deal with trials and tribulations. You will deal with issues in life. Even when you're not saved, you're going to deal with complications in life. Amen. And so understand, first of all, that no matter what no matter where you come from, you will deal with opposition. But as long as you know that now that you will deal with opposition, know that Paul tells us that there is nothing that can come against you that can take control of you. You can't live holy enough to avoid temptation. It will come knocking at your door. Understand that when you're tempted, when you're tried, the actual temptation itself isn't the sin. It's when you allow yourself to give in to that temptation, when you allow yourself to do things that is not of God, that is contrary to God. That's when it bursts into sin. But understand this, John the Revelator in 1 John 2:16 tells us that in life there are three things you're going to face. You're going to have the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, Paul was talking to them about the pride of life because they had gotten to a point where they thought they had it all together on their own. And they understand that that is the proverb says that pride comes before fall. Amen. And so here it is. The pride of life, you will have that issue thinking you've done it all by yourself. The lust of the flesh, that means doing things that desire, that please the flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is God made us in the flesh. He's given us 27 bones in our hand that can represent the 27 testaments of the Bible, the New Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. He's given us eyes that allow you to take pictures and send signals to your brain and process in the dark room of your brain all in a matter of a second. He's given us 400 suckling cups on our tongue to be able to taste the highs, the sweets, and the sours of the wonderful culinary department here. He's given us 20,000 hairs in our ears so we can hear the sweet, melodious sounds of the youth choir. This is what God has done to us, amen? He's given us a heart that beats between 60 and 80 beats a minute and averages right around 72 beats a minute. That is the flesh. Then he's given us the soul. The soul is where our mind and where our feelings are, what we think about, amen? What we think, how we process things, that is the soul. And then we're also made up of the spirit. The spirit is what's going to live forever. The spirit is once you give your hand to God and say, I want to be yours. You are my savior. You are my God. And we live for him. That is where you become saved. That is where the Holy Spirit now dwells. Now, there's some preachers who preach that once I got saved, my hands looked new and my feet did too. That sounds good in a song, but if you really thought about it, your feet, if they was ashy before you got saved, they still going to be ashy. If you was missing a tooth or two, you still going to miss that tooth unless you go and get it taken care of. But yet your spirit is now saved. Amen. That is what man is made up of three parts. And God now lives in our spirit man. And now that you have this God in your spirit man, now it's time for you to read the Bible and pray to get your man, your spirit man stronger than your mind. Amen. To get your spirit man stronger than your flesh. And so when you're tempted, when you're tried, the devil is coming at you through your flesh, through wanting things that you know that's not yours, by coveting things, by thinking you've done everything on your own, by getting so haughty in yourself. And I know we're not talking about Mount Olivet. We're not even talking about any church in Rochester, but there are some people who've gotten to a point in a place in life that they feel like they've done it on their own. They can just do whatever they need to do because they did it by themselves. But understand, that's the pride of life. But understand that, my brothers and sisters, that here it is, Paul is saying there is therefore no temptation. Understand that we all are going to deal with it. Like I said, you cannot be holy enough. You cannot come to church as much. No matter how holy you think you are, you will be tried and tempted. How do we know? Our responsive reading tells us in the fourth chapter of Matthew, it says that Jesus was being tempted by the devil. It says, then Jesus, who was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Hold on, understand, here it is. Now, Jesus, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, had just gotten baptized. He had just gotten baptized. He had just gotten powered by God and said, this is my son who I'm very well pleased with. And then it said the Spirit of God descended like a dove. And as soon as he comes up out of the water of getting baptized, now the scripture said that the Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted. Well, you mean to tell me that soon as you got out of church, soon as you just had a high time in church, you just shouted your weave back, you just shouted your suit loose, you just did all of that, and now you're telling me now I feel so good. Soon as I leave the church, the devil's there waiting? Oh, yes. He is, I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes he's right there at the door. Soon as you get to the door, he's right there. And here in the fourth chapter, Jesus is now being led into the wilderness. The wilderness. What does wilderness mean? Wilderness is a place of uncertainty. Wilderness is a place of unproductivity. Wilderness is a place where I just don't know what's going on. I don't know how I got here. Well, Deborah Cox used to sing a song, how did I get here? How did I end up here? I've been doing everything like I'm supposed to, and I still find myself in a wilderness place. Has anybody ever found themselves in a wilderness place, a wilderness of debt, a wilderness of anger, a wilderness of a trial, maybe a bad marriage, maybe a bad relationship? You found yourself in the wilderness, but just like Jesus was led into the wilderness, understand it can be the Spirit of God leading you in the wilderness to be tempted. And understand, God is not a tricky God. God does not lead you to the wilderness to play games with you. He does not tempt us to sin. He does not want you to sin. God is a God that tests you so that you become stronger and realize where you at in him. Here it is. He was led into the wilderness. And understand, like I said, the wilderness is an uncertain place. Maybe your wilderness is low self-esteem. Maybe your wilderness is high self-esteem. Whatever your wilderness is, understand that God is right there with you. You are not in it by yourself. Understand that whatever happens to you in life is intentional by God. God is not a God of just happenstance, but he's an intentional God. He's not a God by coincidence. It just happens to you. Just happen to end up in Mount Olivet this morning. You just happen to be living in Rochester while you go to school. No, God is an intentional and a strategic God. So that should tell you that you are not in this by yourself. The scripture says that he had been fasting for 40 days, and here Jesus was hungry. He was hungry, and the devil said, listen, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. This proves my point that the devil is organized and strategic. The devil knows your taste buds. The devil knows what turns you on. The devil knows what turns you off. Amen. If you like him tall, dark, and handsome, he may walk by you smelling good. But if you like him short and stubby, then that short and stubby gonna come running by too. Amen. The devil knows exactly what you like, and he's going to come at you with everything he got. Amen? But just like Jesus said, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, Jesus gave the devil a flashback to when the children of Israel was walking and their shoes never wore out. When they wore the same clothes for 40 years and they never faded. And when God opened the sky and fed them manna, Jesus was reminding the devil that God is with me, even in this tempting time. Then the devil said, you know what? I got something better for you. He says, I took him to the holy city, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. See, here it is. Jesus now is being tempted with the lust of the eye. The devil placed him up on a high, 100 feet high stone and dared him to jump off. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to jump off. He wants you to abandon ship. Other words, he wants you to give in to temptation. Can you imagine just for a moment if Jesus would have jumped off? Can you imagine if he would have fell into the trap and jumped off and died prior to the cross? Can you imagine what would have happened? His purpose wouldn't have been accomplished. Understand, this was the very beginning of Jesus Christ's official launch into ministry. The devil wanted him to stop even before he got started. If Jesus would have jumped off, then the woman with the issue of blood would have never been healed. If Jesus would have jumped off, then the multitudes would have never been fed. If Jesus would have jumped off, then the man born blind would have not received sight for the glory of God. If Jesus would have jumped off, the ruler's daughter, Jairus' daughter, would have never been healed. But because he thought we was worth saving, he did not jump off. Understand, my brothers and sisters, you have to understand that the devil wants you to jump off. He wants you to jump off before you even get started in your ministry. He wants you to jump off even before you allow God to show you your purpose in life. Look at your neighbor and say, don't jump off. Give me about 4 more minutes and I'll be out your hair. Amen. The ruler's daughter wouldn't have been saved, but devil wanted Jesus to prematurely kill himself. He wants you to drop out of school, children. He wants you to give it up. He says, no, this school thing is too hard. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to jump off. He wants you to quit the youth choir because some of the kids don't sing as loud as you, or some of them may aggravate you. He wants you to jump off. He wants you to jump out of the senior choir because everybody don't come to rehearsal when they're supposed to. He wants you to jump off. But the devil is a liar. We will not jump off. Amen. Because we know that we are not in this by ourselves. Don't jump off. Don't jump off. Jesus replied to him with the word again. He said, it is written that you shall not test the Lord your God. Now, as if the top of the temple wasn't high enough, next Satan, in a moment of time, takes Jesus to the highest mountain. And Luke says, if you will give, I will give you the glories of these kingdoms and authority over them if you were to bow down and worship me. This is the most dangerous temptation. The devil wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him. Understand, the devil doesn't really care about your cars. He doesn't care about your homes. He doesn't care about your bank account. He wants your worship. He wants your time. He wants your intimacy. That's what worship means, intimacy. He wants your time. He wants you to give him more time than you give God. That's what the devil is seeking, our worship. And here it is. Jesus is now being tempted. He said, listen, if you be him, he says, I'll give you everything you see if you bow down and worship. Proskuneo is the Greek word for worship, and it means to literally bow down, to submit yourself to a higher rank. The pros of that word, P-R-O-S, means to lay prostrate. Amen. And the devil wanted to trick Jesus into submitting his authority to him. He wanted Jesus to be tricked out of his authority. My brothers and sisters, the devil wants to trick you out of your authority. He wants you to think that you do not have true authority in God. But if you be in Christ, you have the authority. For the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. If you allow the devil to trick you and make you feel like you're less than, make you feel like you're not strong enough, make you feel like you're defeated, he has defeated you. But the devil is a liar. He does not have any power over you. He wants to steal your worship. He wants you to be intimate with him. But understand, my brothers and sisters, Christ does not play that. Christ knew exactly what he was going through, and he knew he would not give in to the devil. Every time the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus' response was, it is written. Every time he came at him, he referred back to the word of God. See, Jesus knew the word of God because he was the word of God. We have to be so rooted in the word of God so that we are able to fight the devil with the word of God. The word of God is our sword. That's how we keep the booger up off of us. It is the word of God. But understand that more than just being able to quote scriptures, you have to know what the scriptures mean. The devil himself was quoting scriptures, but he was taking them out of context. And so that's why it's so important that you read the word, you understand the word, so that way you can apply the right ammunition to the enemy. Amen. You got to know when to come with bullets or come with rubber bands. Amen. You don't want to come to a gunfight with a boomerang, because you're just going to be wasting your time. It's so important to understand, to know that you have to get in the word of God and learn it for yourself. The Greek word for know, it means to know, is called gnosis, which means wisdom or knowledge gained from experience. The more you live the word of God, the better you are at using the right scriptures for the right time. The devil quoted scriptures, like I said, but he quoted them incorrectly. But Jesus knew the word for himself. Understand, my brothers and sisters, that we've got to learn and take time to spend with God. And if Jesus didn't know the word for himself, he would have easily been defeated. But because he knew the word, he was victorious over it. Because he knew the power that was invested in him, he was able to pass with flying colors. My brothers and sisters, you have that same power in you. You have that same power and anointing in you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you have that same power to defeat the devil at any time. Understand, see, we have Christ, who is our high priest. He's our big brother. He knows exactly what the devil is doing. He knows exactly how he's coming. And since Jesus was able to avoid these valleys and temptations, understand, he can do it as well. The devil did not hold back on Jesus. He kept coming. And understand, let me give you a quick note. The devil will keep coming at you as with everything he got. The devil wants everything you got. He wants everything you love. He wants your loved ones. But he wants to come at you and take your worship. He wants you not to realize how powerful you are in him. Even children, you are still powerful in God. You don't have to come second nature. You don't have to let the bullies take your lunch money. You don't have to drop out of school. You don't have to let people talk to you in the kind of way. You don't have to be mishandled, because you have God on your side. And even when it seems like you're all alone, God is there with you. You are not in it by yourself. You are not alone at any given time. At the bus stop, you're not alone. Older people at job to jobs, you are never alone. Walking in your cars, God himself is always there with you. Understand, I want to expose the devil and his antics. He comes at you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But understand, if you pass one test today, believe you me, baby, tomorrow he's going to come back again. But when he comes back again and again, you still pull out the sword of God. Just as Jesus used the word, we must use the word. Our scripture says, there is therefore no temptation that has taken you that is common to man. But God. What does that mean? When you say but, that means everything that was said before is kind of negated. It says, but God is faithful. In this text, that means that on the other hand, even though temptations will come at you, God is faithful. How many know we serve a faithful God? How many know we serve a consistent God? How many know we serve a God that is always there, ready to come to our rescue? Deuteronomy tells us, 7 and 9 tells us, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his commandments and keeps his covenant and his love for those who loves him and keeps his commandments. He will keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That lets us know that as long as we're living, God will keep his word. He has his word, and his word with a capital W is consistent. His word is strong. His word is powerful, because John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. So that lets us know, if God is there with you, or if you have his word, he is in the battle right along with you. We know that we serve a consistent God. Psalms 36 and 5 says, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are? In Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What is it saying? If you can make it to the morning, his mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. The hymn that says, O God, thy Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion, they fail not. Not as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have needed, all that I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. My brothers and sisters, because God is faithful, that lets us know that we are not in this by ourselves. He will make a way for escape for us. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that when the temptation comes, there also is a way of escape. So what does that mean? That means that when you find yourself in a trial, when you find yourself in a temptation, right there, if you keep looking, your way of escape is right there with you. If you are in a wilderness situation, understand your way of escape is right there with you. Jesus tells us in John, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. What are you saying, preacher? That understand, when you find yourself in a situation, always look for the door, the capital D, O-O-R, and who is the door? He says, Jesus is the door, the way in and the way out. No matter what you find yourself in, understand that there is a way of escape. I don't care what it may be, what it may look like, how you feel, what you see around you. There is always a way of escape. For he says, God is faithful. God is faithful. He is consistent. He is a God that does not lie like man. Amen. He says, when you find yourself against the wall, the back against the wall, he is right there. There is a door of escape. Understand, my brothers and sisters, that when you feel yourself up against the wall, understand that you keep feeling long enough, you will feel a doorknob, because you understand you will never find a door without a wall. There is always a wall, and on the wall you'll find the door. So when you see yourself up against the wall and you feel like the enemy is coming every which way, from the top, from the bottom, from the left to the right, understand, keep feeling for the doorknob, because he is right there with you. Understand, my brothers and sisters, that there is nothing, there is therefore no temptation that is common to man that can take you, because our God is faithful. He is a consistent God. Jesus himself that was tempted, he is stronger than anything. Why have any fear? For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Understand, my brothers and my sisters, he is faster than a speeding bullet, and he is more powerful than a locomotive. He's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Jesus Christ coming to your rescue. Understand that no matter what you're dealing with, Jesus can handle it. Jesus is our helper. Jesus is our way in, and Jesus is our way out. Jesus is our way through, and Jesus is our way over, and Jesus is our way under. Jesus will always be by your side. Even when things get hot and heavy, he'll be right there. If you don't believe me, let's turn to the 3rd chapter of Daniel, and my homeboy Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown in the fire, and the fire was turned up very hot, and the king threw them all in bound. He threw them in all tied up, and before the king can go sit down, he realized that when he was counting on his fingers, he ended up seeing 4. But how do you get from 3 to 4? How do you get from 3 to 4? Well, that means that the Son of Man was in the fire right then and there. Understand, my brothers and sisters, there is no situation that is too hot for God to be. There is no situation that is too dark for God to be. Understand, you may not see the light at the end of the tunnel, but like I've said before, the God we serve is not only the light at the end of the tunnel, but he's the light in the tunnel. He is the light that leads you to the light at the end of the tunnel. We serve an awesome God, an awesome God, an awesome God. He's able to deliver. He's able to heal. He's able to strengthen. So understand, no matter where you find yourself at, no matter what area in life you find yourself trapped, I don't care what it is, he says, I will make a way of escape for you. I will be there. Just keep looking, keep searching. You have to look for the S-O-N in every situation. I know the clouds may be coming. I know the storm is really hard. I know the winds may blow. I know the dashes may break. But if you just hold on, if you hold on to God, I guarantee he'll be right there. I guarantee he'll come and see about you. The old folk says he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's a way over troubled waters. He is the bridge that takes me from here to there. Who are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus that was born in swaddling clothes. It was Jesus, the Son of Man. They called him Emmanuel. That means God with us. Understand, no matter who you are, God is always with you. He's always there. Jesus, the Son of God, he was betrayed by one of his apostles. He was tried in an unjust court. He was sentenced to death. Some of you have been sentenced to death. They told you you'll never be anything. They said you'll never amount to nothing, but the devil is a liar. They didn't know who you serve. They didn't know that pit they threw you in, you wasn't in there by yourself, because he was there all the time. They whipped him all night long, and they spit on him. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They made him carry his cross up Golgotha Hill. He had the weight of our sins on his shoulders. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. They put him on the cross and they lifted him up. But they forgot that scripture that said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He'll draw them. So they lifted him up for the world to see. And he hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour. And then he died. He was dead by lunchtime on Friday. He was dead Saturday morning. And when he was dead, he went down to the earth. He knocked on hell's door. And they said, who is it? He said, it's the King of Glory. Lift up your heads, all ye everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory come in. And they had the nerve to say, who is the King of Glory? The Lord God strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. He is the Lord strong. And that's who you got in the battle with you. Early Sunday morning, there was a violent earthquake, and the rock that was trying to hold the rock got rolled away, and the Rock of Ages came forth. So he was dead Saturday, but early before Sunday morning, early before breakfast, he got up and made his pajamas. He set it all nice and neat so they could see that he didn't rush out of the grave. He took his time, and because he rose on the third day, he can rise in my life. Because he rose on the third day, he can rise in your life. He is the one. He is the victorious one. He is my all in all. He got up with victory. He is victorious. And because he's victorious, I'm victorious. When I'm down, he elevates. When I'm sick, he operates. When I'm lonely, he communicates. When I'm bored, he fascinates. I've got enemies, he eliminates. I've got trials, he exterminates. When I'm falsely accused, he vindicates. And if I'm in court, he is my magistrate. I got fears. He makes them vacate. When I'm in darkness, he illuminates. Before I call him, he anticipates. When I do good, he appreciates. When I'm thirsty, he hydrates. When I'm hungry, he fills my plate. Can't nobody. I don't care where you go. I don't care how hard you look. Can't nobody.